it was Aurelius, had loved her best of any creature 2 years and more, as was his aventure. But never durst he tell on her his grievance. Withouten cup he drank all his penance. He was despaired. Nothing durst he say, save in his song somewhat would he ray his woe, as in a general complaining. He said he loved, and was beloved no thing, of which matter made he many lays, songs, complaints, roundels, virelays, how that he durst not his sorrow tell, but languishes as a fury does in hell. And die he must, he said, as did Echo for Narcissus that durst not tell her woe. In other manner than you hear me say, ne durst he not to her his woe betray, save that peradventure sometimes at dances, where young folk keep their observances, it may well be he looked on her face, in such a wise as man that asketh grace. But nothing wist she of his intent. Natheless, it happed, ere they thence went, because that he was her neighbour, and was a man of worship and of honour, and had known him of time yore, they fell in speech, and forth more and more unto his purpose drew Aurelius, and when he saw his time, he said thus, "Madam," quod he, "by God that this world made, so that I wist it might your heart glad, I would that day that your Arviragus went o'er the sea, that I, Aurelius, had went, where never I should have come again. For well I wot my service is in vain, my guerdon is but bursting of mine heart. Madam, rueth upon my pain smart, for with a word you may me slay or save. Here at your feet, God would that I were grave. I have as now no leisure more to say. Have mercy, sweet, or you will do me die." She gan to look upon Aurelius. "Is this your will," quod she, "and say you thus?" "Never erst," quod she, "ne wist I what you meant. But now, Aurelius, that I know your intent, by Vilca God that gave me soul and life, ne shall I never be an untrue wife in word nor work. As far as I have wit, I will be his to whom that I am knit. Take this for final answer as of me."
With him there rode a gentle pardoner of Rouncival, his friend and his compeer, that straight was come from the court of Rome. Full loud he sang, "Come hither, love, to me." This summoner bore to him a stiff burden, was never trump of half so great a sound. This pardoner had hair as yellow as wax, but smooth it hung, as doth a strike of flax. By ounces hung his locks that he had, and therewith he his shoulders overspread. But thin it lay, by culpins, one by one, but hood for jollity wore he none, for it was trussed up in his wallet. Him thought he rode all of the new jet, dishevelled, save his cap he rode all bare. Such glaring iron had he as a hare. A vernicle had he sewed upon his cap. His wallet lay before him in his lap, bretful of pardons, come from Rome all hot. A voice he had as small as hath a goat. No beard had he, nor never should he have, as smooth it was as it were late a shave. I trow he was a gelding or a mare. But of his craft, from Berwick unto Ware, ne was there such another pardoner. For in his mail he had a pillow burr, which, that he said, was Our Lady's veil. He said he had a gobbet of the sail that St. Peter had, when that he went upon the sea, till Jesus Christ him hent. He had a cross of Latin, full of stones, and in a glass he had pig's bones. And with these relics, when that he found a poor parson dwelling upon land, upon one day he got him more money than that the parson got in months tway. And thus with feigned flattery and japes he made the parson and the people his apes. But truly, to tell un at the last, he was in church a noble ecclesiast. well could he read a lesson and a story. But Alderbest, he sung an offertory, for well he wist, when that song was sung, he must preach and well affile his tongue to win silver, as he full well could. Therefore he sang the merrily and loud. Now have I told you soothly in a clause the state, the array, the number, and eke the cause why that assembled was this company in Southwark at this gentle hostelry that hight the Tabard, fast by the Bell. But now is time to you for to tell how that we bore us that ilka night when we were in that hostelry alight, and after will I tell of our viage and all the remnant of our pilgrimage. But first I pray you of your courtesy that you narrate it not my villainy, though that I plainly speak in this matter to tell you their words and their cheer. Not though I speak their words properly, for this you know and all as well as I. Whoso shall tell a tale after a man, he must rehearse, as nigh as ever he can, every word, if it be in his charge. All speak he never so rudely and large. Or else he must tell his tale untrue, or feign things, or finden words new. He may not spare, although he were his brother. He may as well say one word as another. Christ spoke himself full broad in holy writ, and well you wot no villainy is it. Eke Plato says, whoso can him read, the words must be cousin to the deed. Also I pray you to forgive it me, all have I not set folk in their degree here in this tale, as that they should stand. My wit is short, you may well understand.
But after that, in play, thus said she, Aurelius, quod she, by high God above, yet would I grant you to be your love, since I, you see, so piteously complain. Look what day, that end along Britain, you remove all the rocks, stone by stone, that they ne let ship nor boat to goan. I say, when you have made the coast so clean of rocks that there is no stony scene, then will I love you best of any man. Have here my truth, in all that ever I can, for well I wot that it shall ne'er betide. Let such follies out of your heart slide. What dainty should a man have in his life, for to go love another man's wife that hath her body when so that him liketh? Aurelius, full often sore sigheth, is there no other grace in you, quod he? No, by that Lord, quod she, that maked me. Woe was Aurelius when that he this heard, and with a sorrowful heart he thus answered, Madam, quod he, this were an impossible, then must I die of sudden death horrible. And with that word he turned him anon. Then came her other friends, many a one, and in the alleys roamed up and down, and nothing wist of this conclusion. But suddenly began the revel new, till that the bright sun had lost his hue, for the horizon had reft the sun his light. This is as much to say as it was night. And home they go in joy and in solace, save only wretched Aurelius, alas. He to his house is gone with sorrowful heart. He sees he may not from his death astart. Him seemed that he felt his heart cold. Up to the heavens he his hands gan hold, and on his knees bare he set him down, and in his raving said his orison. For very woe out of his wit he brayed. He nist o' what he spoke, but thus he said, with piteous heart his plaint hath he begun, unto the gods, and first unto the sun. He said, Apollo, God and governor of every plant and herb and tree and flower, that givest after thy declination to each of them its time and its season, as thine harbour o changeth, low or high, Lord Phoebus, cast thy merciable eye on wretched Aurelius, which that am but lorn. Lo, Lord, my lady hath my death ysworn, withouten guilt, but thy benignity upon my deadly heart have some pity. For well I wot, Lord Phoebus, if you lest, you may me helpen, save my lady best. Now voucheth safe, that I may you devise, how that I may be helped, and in what wise. Your blissful sister, Lucina the Sheen, that of the sea is chief goddess and queen, though Neptunus have deity in the sea, yet empress above on him is she. You know well, Lord, that right as her desire is to be quicked and lighted of your fire, for which she followeth you full busily, right so the sea desireth naturally to follow her, as she that is goddess both in the sea and rivers, more and less. Wherefore, Lord Phoebus, this is my request. Do this miracle, or do mine heart burst, that now, next at this opposition, which in the sign shall be of the lion, as prayeth her so great a flood to bring, that 5 fathoms at the least it overspring the highest rock in Armoric Britain, and let this flood endure years twain. Then, certes to my lady may I say, holdeth your hest, the rocks be away. Lord Phoebus, do this miracle for me. Pray her she go no faster course than ye. I say this, pray your sister that she go no faster course than you, these years too. Then shall she be even at the full all way, and spring flood last both night and day. And but she vouchsafe in such manner to grant me my sovereign lady dear, pray her to sinken every rock adown into her own dark region, under the ground where Pluto dwelleth in, or never more shall I my lady win. Thy temple in Delphos will I barefoot seek. Lord Phoebus, see the tears on my cheek, and of my pain have some compassion. And with that word, in swoon he fell adown, and long time he lay forth in a trance. His brother, which that knew of his penance, up caught him, and to bed he hath him brought. Despaired in this torment and this thought, let I this woeful creature lie, choose he for me whether he will live or die. Arviragus, with health and with great honour, as he that was of chivalry the flower, is common home, and other worthy men. Oh, blissful art thou now, thou Dorigen, that hast thy lusty husband in thine arms, the fresh knight, the worthy man of arms, that loveth thee as his own heart's life. No thing list him to been imaginative of any wight had spoke while he was out to her of love. He had of it no doubt. He not intendeth to know such matter, but danceth, jousteth, maketh her good cheer. And thus in joy and bliss I let them dwell, and of the sick Aurelius will I tell. In labour and in torment furious, 2 years and more lay wretch Aurelius, ere any foot he might on earth go. Nor comfort in this time, nor had he none, save of his brother, which that was a clerk. He knew of all this woe and all this work, for to no other creature certain of this matter he durst no word sayn. Under his breast he bore it more secree than ever did Pamphilius for Galathee. His breast was whole without, for to seen, but in his heart aye was the arrow keen. And well you know that of a cercenure in surgery is perilous the cure, but men might touch the arrow or come thereby. His brother wept and wailed privily, till at the last him fell in remembrance that while he was at Orleans in France, as young clerks that been liquorous to read arts had been curious, seeking in every hulk and every hern particular sciences for to learn, he him remembered that upon a day at Orleans, in a study, a book he saw of magic natural, which his fellow, that was that time a bachelor of law, or were he there to learn another craft, had privily upon his desk he left, which book spoke much of the operations touching the 28 mansions that long unto the moon, and such folly as in our days is not worth a fly, for Holy Church's faith in our belief nor suffers no illusion us to grieve. And when this book was in his remembrance, anon for joy his heart began to dance, and to himself he said privily, "My brother shall be cured hastily, for I am sicker that there be sciences by which men make diverse appearances, such as these subtle tregetters play. For oft at feasts have I well heard say that tregetters within a hall large have made come in a water and a barge, and in the hall rowen up and down. Sometime hath seemed to come a grim lion, sometime flowers spring as in a mead, sometime a vine, and grapes white and red, sometime a castle all of lime and stone, and when them liked, voided it anon. Thus seemed it to every man's sight. Now then conclude I thus, that if I might at Orleans some old fellow find, that had these moon's mansions in mind, or other magic natural above, he should well make my brother have his love. For with an appearance a clerk may make to man's sight that all the rocks black of Britain were avoided every one, and ships by the brink come and gone, and in such form endure a week or two. Then were my brother cured of his woe. Then must she needs hold on her behest, or else he shall shame her at the least. What should I make a longer tale of this? Unto his brother's bed he come and is, and such comfort he gave him for to gone to Orleans, that up he starts anon, and on his way forward then is he fair, in hope for to be cured of his care. When they were come almost to that city, but if it were a 2 furlong or 3, a young clerk roaming by himself they met, which that in Latin thriftily them gret, and after that he said a wonder thing. "I know," quod he, "the cause of your coming." And ere they further any foot went, he told them all that was in their intent. This Breton clerk him asked of fellows the which that he had known in olden days, and he answered him that they dead were, for which he wept full often many a tear. Down off his horse Aurelius lights anon, and with this magician forth is he gone, home to his house, and made them well at ease. Them lacked no vitale that might them please. So well arrayed house as there was one, Aurelius in his life saw never none. He showed him, ere he went to supper, forests, parks full of wild deer. There saw he harts with their horns high, the greatest that ever were seen with eye. He saw of them 100 slain with hounds, and some with arrows bled of bitter wounds. He saw, when voided were these wild deer, these falconers upon a fair river that with their hawks have the heron slain. Then saw he knights jousting in a plain, and after this he did him such pleasance that he him showed his lady on a dance, on which himself he danced, as him thought. And when this master that this magic wrought saw it was time, he clapped his hands to, and farewell, all our revel was ago. And yet removed they never out of the house, while they saw all this sight marvellous, but in his study, there as his books be, they sit and still, and no wight but they three. To him this master called his squire, and said him thus, "Is ready our supper? Almost an hour it is, I undertake, since I you bade our supper for to make. When that these worthy men went with me into my study, there as my books be?" "Sir," quod the squire, "when it liketh you, it is all ready, though you will write now." "Go we then sup," quod he, "as for the best. These amorous folk sometime must have their rest." At after supper fell they in treaty, what sum should this master's guerdon be to remove all the rocks of Britain, and eke from Gironde to the mouth of Seine. He made it strange, and swore, so God him save, less than £1,000 he would not have, nor gladly for that sum he would not gone. Aurelius with blissful heart anon answered thus, "Fie on £1,000! This wide world which that men say is round, I would it give if I were lord of it. This bargain is full drive, for we be knit. You shall be paid truly by my truth. But look now, for no negligence nor sloth, you tarry us here no longer than tomorrow." "Nay," quod this clerk, "have here my faith to borrow." To bed is gone Aurelius when him lest, and well nigh all that night he had his rest, but for his labour and his hope of bliss, his woeful heart of penance had a liss. Upon the morrow, when that it was day, to Brittany took they the right way, Aurelius and this magician beside, and been descended where they would abide. And this was, as these books me remember, the cold, frosty season of December. Phoebus waxed old and hued like latten, that in his hot declination shone as the burned gold with streams bright. But now, in Capricorn adown he light, whereas he shone full pale, I dare well sayn. The bitter frosts, with the sleet and rain, destroyed hath the green in every yard. Janus sits by the fire with double beard, and drinketh of his bugle horn the wine. Before him stands brawn of the tusked swine, and Noel crieth every lusty man. Aurelius, in all that ever he can, doth to this master cheer and reverence, and prayeth him to do his diligence to bring on him out of his pain's smart, or with a sword that he would slit his heart. This subtle clerk such ruth had of this man, that night and day he sped him that he can to wait a time of his conclusion. This is to say and to make illusion by such an appearance or jugglery, I ne can no terms of astrology, that she and every wight should ween and say that of Brittany the rocks were away, or else they were sunken underground. So at the last he hath his time he found to make his japes, and his wretchedness of such a superstitious cursedness. His tables Toletanes forth he brought, full well corrected, nor there lacked naught, neither his collect nor his expanse years, nor his roots nor his other gears, has been his centres and his arguments, and his proportionals convenient, for his equations in everything. And by his eighth sphere in his working, he knew full well how far Alnath was shove from the head of Vilca fixed Ares above, that in the ninth sphere considered is. Full subtly he calculated all this. When he had found his first mansion, he knew the remnant by proportion, and knew the rising of his moon well, and in whose face and term and every deal, and knew full well the moon's mansion accordant to his operation. And knew also his other observances, for such illusions and such mischances as heathen folk used in Vilca days, for which no longer make it he delays, but through his magic, for a week or tway, it seemed that all the rocks were away. Aurelius, which that yet despaired is, whether he shall have his love or fare amiss, awaiteth night and day on this miracle. And when he knew that there was no obstacle, that voided were these rocks, every one, down to his master's feet he fell anon, and said, "I, woeful wretch Aurelius, thank you, Lord, and lady mine, Venus, that have me helpen from my cares cold." And to the temple his way forth hath he hold, where, as he knew, he should his lady see. And when he saw his time, anon, right he, with dreadful heart, and with full humble cheer, saluted has his sovereign lady dear. "My right lady," quod this woeful man, "whom I most dread and love as best I can, and loathest were of all this world displease, ne'er it that I for you have such dis-ease, that I must die here at your feet anon, nought would I tell how me is woe begone. But, certes, either must I die, or plain, you slay me guiltless for very pain. But of my death, though that you have no ruth, aviseth you, ere that you break your truth, repenteth you, for thilke God above, ere you me slay, because that I you love. For, madam, well you wot what you have hight, not that I challenge anything of right of you, my sovereign lady, but your grace. But in a garden yond, at such a place, you wot right well what you behighten me, and in mine hand your truth plighted ye to love me best. God wot you said so, albe that I unworthy am thereto. Madam, I speak it for the honour of you, more than to save mine heart's life right now. I have done as you commanded me, and if you vouchsafe, you may go see. Do as you list, have your behest in mind, for quick or dead, right there you shall me find. In you lies all, to do me live or die, but well I wot, the rock's been away." He takes his leave, and she astonished stood. In all her face there was no drop of blood. She wend never have come in such a trap. "Alas," quod she, "that ever this should hap, for wend I never by possibility that such a monster or marvel might be. It is against the process of nature." And home she goes, a sorrowful creature. For very fear aneath her may she go. She weepeth, waileth all a day or two, and swooneth that it ruth was to see. But why it was, to no wight told it she. For out of town was gone Arviragus. But to herself she spoke, and said thus, with face pale, and with full sorrowful cheer in her complaint, as you shall after hear. "Alas," quod she, "on thee, fortune, I plain, that unaware hast wrapped me in thy chain, from which to escape what I no succour save only death, or else dishonour. One of these two behoveth me to choose, but natheless, yet have I liever lose my life than of my body to have a shame, or know myself and false, or lose my name. And with my death I may be quit iwis. Has there not many a noble wife ere this, and many a maid is slain herself, alas, rather than with her body do trespass? Yes, certes, lo, these stories bear witness. When 30 tyrants full of cursedness had slain Phidon in Athens at the feast, they commanded his daughters for to rest, and bringen them before them in despite, all naked, to fulfil their foul delight. And in their father's blood they made them dance upon the pavement. God give them mischance. For which these woeful maidens, full of dread, rather than that they would lose their maidenhead, they privily been start into a well and drowned themselves, as the books tell. They of Messina let inquire and seek, of Lacedaemon 50 maidens eke, on which that they would do their lechery. But there was none of all that company that she has slain, and, with a good intent, chose rather for to die than to assent to be oppressed of her maidenhead. Why should I then to die be in dread? Lo, eke, the tyrant Aristocles, that loved a maiden hight Stymphalides, when that her father slain was on a night, unto Diana's temple goes she right, and hent the image in her hands too, from which image would she never go, no wight ne might her hands of it erase, till she was slain, right in the self place. Now since that maidens hadn't such despite to be defouled with man's foul delight, well ought a wife rather herself and slay than be defouled, as it thinketh me. What shall I say of Hasdrubal's wife, that at Carthage bereft herself her life, for when she saw that Romans won the town, she took her children all and skipped down into the fire, and chose rather to die than any Roman did her villainy. Hath not Lucrece slain herself, alas, at Rome, when that she oppressed was, of Tarquin, for her thought it was a shame to liven when that she had lost her name? The seven maidens of Milesia also have slain themselves for very dread and woe rather than folk of Gaul them should oppress. More than 1,000 stories, as I guess, could I now tell as touching this matter. When Habrodate was slain, his wife so dear herself and slew, and let her blood to glide in Habrodate's wounds deep and wide, and said, "My body at the least way, there shall no wight defoulen, if I may." What should I more examples hereof sayn? Since that so many have themselven slain, well, rather than they would defouled be, I will conclude that it is bet for me to slay myself than be defouled thus. I will be true unto Arviragus, or rather slay myself in some manner, as did Demosione's daughter dear, because that she would not defouled be. O Sadusus, it is full great pity to reason how thy daughters died, alas, that slew themselves for such a manner case. As great a pity was it, or well more, the Theban maiden that for Nicanor herself and slew, right for such manner woe. Another Theban maiden did right so, for one of Macedon had her oppressed. She with her death her maidenhead redressed. What shall I say of Nicerati's wife, that for such case bereft herself her life? How true eke was to Alcibiades his love, that rather for to die chose than for to suffer his body unburied be. Lo, which a wife was Alcestis, quod she. What says Homer of good Penelope? All Greece knoweth of her chastity. Pardie of Laodomia is written thus, that when at Troy was slain Procephalus, no longer would she live after his day. The same of noble Portia tell I may, withouten Brutus could she not liven, to whom she had all whole her heart given. The perfect wifehood of Arthemisi honoured is through all the Barbary. O Tutor Queen, thy wifely chastity to all wives may a mirror be. The same thing I say of Bilia, of Rodagon, and eke Valeria. Thus plained Dorigen a day or two, purposing ever that she would die. But natheless upon the third night, home came Arviragus, this worthy knight, and asked her why that she wept so sore. And she gan weepen ever longer the more. "Alas," quod she, "that ever I was born." "Thus have I said," quod she, "thus have I sworn," and told him all, as you have heard before. It needeth not rehearse it you no more. This husband, with glad cheer, in friendly wise, answered and said, as I shall you devise, "Is there aught else, Dorigen, but this?" "Nay, nay," quod she, "God help me so as wis. This is too much, and it were God's will." "Yea, wife," quod he, "let sleep, and that is still. It may be well, Paronta, yet to-day. You shall your truth holden, by my fay. For God so wisely have mercy upon me, I had well lievery sticked for to be, for very love which that I to you have, but if you should your truth keep and save. Truth is the highest thing that man may keep." But with that word he burst anon to weep, and said, "I you forbid, up pain of death, that never, while thee lasteth life nor breath, to no wight tell thou of this aventure. As I may best, I will my woe endure, nor make no countenance of heaviness, that folk of you may demon harm or guess." And forth he cleaped a squire and a maid. "Go forth anon with Dorigen," he said, "and bringeth her to such a place anon." They took their leave, and on their way they gone, but they ne wist why she thither went. he would to no wight tell in his intent. Peradventure, a heap of you, I wis, will hold in him a lewd man in this, that he will put his wife in jeopardy. Hearken the tale, ere you upon her cry. She may have better fortune than you seemeth, and when that you have heard the tale, deemeth. This squire, which that hight Aurelius, on Dorigen that was so amorous, of aventure happened her to meet amid the town, right in the quickest street, as she was bound to go the way forthright toward the garden there, as she had hight. And he was to the garden ward also, for well he spied when she would go out of her house to any manner place. But thus they met, of aventure or grace, and he saluteth her with glad intent, and asked of her whitherward she went. And she answered, half as she were mad, "Unto the garden, as my husband bade, my truth for to hold, alas, alas!" Aurelius gan wonder on this case, and in his heart had great compassion of her and of her lamentation, and of Arviragus, the worthy knight that bade her hold on all that she had hight, so loath him was his wife should break her truth. And in his heart he caught of this great ruth, considering the best on every side, that from his lust yet were him liever abide than do so high a churlish wretchedness against franchise and all gentleness, for which, in few words, said he thus, "Madam, say to your lord Arviragus, that since I see his great gentleness to you, and eke I see well your distress, that him were liever have shame, and that were ruth, than you to me should break thus your truth. I have well liever ever to suffer woe than I depart the love betwixt you two. I you release, madam, into your hand. Quit every cerement and every bond that you have made to me as here before, since thilka time in which that you were born. My truth I plight, I shall you ne'er reprove of no behest. And here I take my leave, as of the truest and the best wife that ever yet I knew in all my life. But every wife beware of her behest. On Dorigen remember at the least. Thus can a squire do a gentle deed, as well as can a knight, withouten dread." She thanketh him upon her knees all bare, and home unto her husband is she fair, and told him all, as you have heard me said. And be you sure, he was so well apaid that it were impossible me to write. What should I longer of this case endite? Arviragus and Dorigen his wife, in sovereign bliss leading forth their life. Never eftener was there anger them between. He cherished her as though she were a queen, and she to him was true for evermore. Of these two folk you get of me no more. Aurelius, that his cost has all forlorn, curses the time that ever he was born. "Alas," quod he, "alas that I be height of purid gold 1,000 pounds of weight unto this philosopher. How shall I do? I see no more, but that I am fordue. My heritage must I needs sell and be a beggar. Here I may not dwell and shame on all my kindred in this place, but I of him may get a better grace. But natheless, I will of him assay at certain days, year by year, to pay and thank him of his great courtesy. My truth will I keep, I will not lie." With heart sore he goes unto his coffer, and brought gold unto this philosopher, the value of 500 pounds, I guess, and him beseecheth of his gentleness to grant in him days of the remnant, and said, "Master, I dare well make a vaunt, I failed never of my truth as yet, for sickerly my debt shall be quit towards you, however that I fare to go a-begged in my kirtle bare. But would you vouchsafe upon surety 2 years or 3 for to respite in me, then were I well, for else must I sell my heritage. There is no more to tell." The philosopher soberly answered, and said thus, when he these words heard, "Have I not held covenant unto thee? "Yea, certes, well and truly," quod he. "Hast thou not had thy lady as thee liketh?" "No, no," quod he, and sorrowfully he sigheth. "What was the cause? Tell me, if thou can." Aurelius his tale anon began, and told him all as you have heard before. It needeth not to you rehearse it more. He said, "Arviragus of gentleness had liever die in sorrow and distress than that his wife were of her truth false. The sorrow of Dorigen he told him alls, how loath her was to be a wicked wife, and that she liever had lost that day her life, and that her truth she swore through innocence. She never erst had heard speak of appearance. That made me have of her so great pity, and write as freely as he sent her me, as freely sent I her to him again. This all and some, there is no more to say." This philosopher answered, "Leave a brother, every one of you did gently to the other. Thou art a squire, and he is a knight. But God forbid, for his blissful might, but if a clerk could do a gentle deed as well as any of you, it is no dread. Sir, I release thee of thy 1,000 pound. As thou right now were cropped out of the ground, nor never ere now, nor hadst known me. For, sir, I will not take a penny of thee for all my craft, nor naught for my travail. Thou hast depaid well for my vitail. It is enough. And farewell, have good day." And took his horse, and forth he goes his way. "Lordings, this question will I ask now. Which was the most free, as thinketh you? Now telleth me, ere that you further wend. I can no more. My tale is at an end."
The Pardoner is the most sinister character on the pilgrimage. His portrait in the general prologue shows him deficient in body and depraved in soul, his physical attributes, or lack of them, a metaphor for his sterile spirit. Even his appearance arouses a profound uneasiness. He is a confidence man, operating one of the confidence games that still flourish, manipulating people's religious gullibility and using a real rhetorical gift to get the people to give him money or goods. The pardoner's trade grew out of a legitimate, if dubious, church practice that was difficult to understand and easy to abuse, the doctrine and practice of indulgences, which was roughly this. Even when you had confessed your sins with genuine regret, there was still something owing, penance of some kind, which could take various forms, which included giving money to some good cause. But careless or unscrupulous people implied that if you gave money to a good cause which they represented, that act in itself bought pardon for your sins. This was not church teaching, but it was an idea widely disseminated and widely believed, because it satisfied at the same time the need for forgiveness in some and the need for money in others. Some critics have found a plausible explanation for the pardoner's indiscreet garrulousness in the fact that he has a pint of corny ale before he begins his confessional prologue. But, of course, one does not need realistic explanations. Because the pardoner's prologue is a fiction, it depends on the reader's acceptance of convention, as, for example, that people tell tales in polished verse. Realistically, people do not do that. But they do make confessions, sometimes boastfully. We do not have to think that they ever make boastful confessions quite as damning as that of the pardoner. We accept that he does, as we accept the self-revealing confessional soliloquies of Shakespeare's Shylock or Iago, or Richard III, who is, like the pardoner, physically deficient. Pardoners had a deservedly bad reputation for telling lewd tales, even in church, to keep their audiences amused, and so more forthcoming with money. Hence, when the host calls on the partner for a tale, the gentles gan to cry, "Let him tell us of no ribaldry." Since the gentles have listened with enjoyment already to the very ribald tales of the miller and the reeve, they must have been expecting something really objectionable from the partner. He disappoints them perfectly with a superbly moral tale. At the heart of his tale is a story that was old when Geoffrey Chaucer put it in the mouth of his partner, and even older when I heard it in church as a boy. Chaucer seemed to believe that all the good stories have already been told, and lie ready to be retold by a new author, in a new way, for a new audience. B. Travan novelized the tale as The Treasure of the Sierra Madre, and John Huston filmed it in the movie of the same name. The originality is in making it new. Having made a confession of his dirty tricks, and then having told a moving moral tale, the pardoner says something else unexpected, directly to the pilgrims. "And lo, sirs, thus I preach, and Jesus Christ, that is our soul's leech, that is our soul's physician, so grant you his pardon to receive, for that is best, I will you not deceive." Has a ray of God's grace finally penetrated the soul of this hardened cynic? Has he been so moved by his own sermon that finally he gets the point of it? But as one is smiling at this satisfactory ending, he turns on again his salesman's pitch for the relics he has earlier denounced as fake to this very audience, and offers to give the host first go. Is the final sales pitch and the offer to the host just the pardoner's joke that the host misunderstands or responds to in the wrong way? A number of explanations of the ending are possible, none of them totally satisfactory, leaving the pardoner an enigma like the old man of his tale. Here is the beginning of the pardoner's prologue, where the host deplores the gory tale just told by the physician about a plot between a judge and a churl, a low fellow, which causes the death of a beautiful young woman. The host, making bad doctor jokes, jovially invites the pardoner to tell a merry tale as a change. The pardoner's prologue and tale follow this exchange. The reader is John Rayner.
Our host gan to swear as he were wood. "Harrow," quod he, "by our nails and by blood, this was a false churl and a false justice. A shameful death as heart may devise, come to these judges and their advocates. All gate, this silly maid is slain, alas. Alas, too dear bought she beauty. Wherefore I say, all day that men may see that gifts of fortune and of nature be cause of death to many a creature. Her beauty was her death, I dare well sayn. Alas, so piteously as she was slain. Of both gifts that I speak of now, men have full often more for harm than prow. But truly, mine own master dear, this is a piteous tale for to hear. But natheless, pass over, is no force. I pray to God to save thy gentle course, and eke thy urinals and thy Jordans, thine Hippocras and eke thy galleons, and every boist full of thy lectuary, God bless them, and Our Lady St. Mary. So may I thee, thou art a proper man, and like a prelate by St. Ronian. Said I not well? I cannot speak in term, but well I wot thou dost mine heart to earn, that I have almost caught a cardinacle. By corpus bones, but I have a triacle, or else a draught of moist and corny ale, or but I hear anon a merry tale. My heart is lost for pity of this maid. Thou Bellamy, thou partner," he said, "tell us some mirth or japes right anon." "It shall be done," quod he, "by St. Ronion. But first," quod he, "here at this ale-stake I will both drink and eaten of a cake. and right anon these gentles gan to cry, "Nay, let him tell us of no ribaldry. Tell us some moral thing, that we may leer some wit, and then will we gladly hear." "I grant I wis," quod he, "but I must think upon some honest thing while that I drink."
Great cheer made our hostess every one, and to the supper set he us anon. He served us with victuals at the best. Strong was the wine, and well to drink us lest. A seemly man our host was withal, for to be a marshal in a hall. A large man he was, with iron steep, a fairer burgess was there none in cheap. Bold of his speech, and wise, and well he taught, and of manhood lacked him right naught. Eke thereto he was right a merry man, and after supper playin' he began, and spoke of mirth, amongst other things, when that we had made our reckonings, and said thus,
"Now, lordings, truly, you beat me right welcome heartily, for by my troth, if that I shall not lie, I saw not this year so merry a company as once in this harbour as is now. Fain would I do you mirth, wist I how, and of a mirth I am right now bethought to do you ease, and it shall cost naught. You go to Canterbury, God you speed, the blissful martyr, quite you your meed. And well I wot, as you go by the way, you shapen you to tailen and to play. For truly, comfort nor mirth is none to ride by the way dumb as a stone. And therefore would I make a new disport, as I said erst, and do you some comfort. And if you liketh all by one assent, for to standen at my judgment, and for to worken, as I shall you say, tomorrow when you riden by the way, now, by my father's soul that is dead, but you be merry, I'll give you my head. Hold up your hands, withouten more speech." Our counsel was not long for to seek, as thought it was not worth to make it wise, and granted him withouten more advice, and bade him say his verdict, as him list. "Lordings," quod he, "now hearken for the best, but take it not, I pray you, in disdain. This is the point, to speak and short and plain, that each of you, to shorten with our way in this viage, shall tellen tales tway to Canterbury ward, I mean it so, and homeward he shall tell another two of our ventures that will him have befall. And which of you that bears him best of all, that is to say, that telleth in this case tales of best sentence and most solace, shall have a supper at our honour cost, here in this place, sitting by this post, when that we come again from Canterbury. And for to make you the more merry, I will myself goodly with you ride, right at mine own cost, and be your guide. And whoso will my judgment withsay, shall pay all that we spend by the way. And if you vouchsafe that it be so, tell me anon, withouten words more, and I will early shapen me therefore."
"Lordings," quod he, "in churches when I preach, I pain me to have a haughty speech, and ring it out as round as goes a bell. For I can all by rote that I tell, my theme is always one, and ever was, Radux malorum est cupiditas. First I pronounce whence that I come, and then my bull show I all and some. Our liege lord's seal on my patent, that show I first, my body to warrant. That no man be so bold, nor priest, nor clerk, me to disturb of Christ's holy work. And after that then tell I forth my tales, bulls of popes and of cardinals, of patriarchs and bishops I show, and in Latin I speak a words few, to saffron with my predication, and for to stir them to devotion. Then show I forth my long crystal stones, ycramed full of cloths and of bones. Relics be they, as weenen they each one. Then have I in Latin a shoulder bone, which that was of a holy Jew's sheep. Good men, say I, take of my words keep. If that this bone be washed in any well, if cow or calf or sheep or ox swell that any worm has eat or worm is stung, take water of that well and wash his tongue, and it is whole anon. And furthermore, of pox and of scabs and every sore shall every sheep be whole that of this well drinketh a draught. Take keep eke what I tell, if that the goodman that the beasts oweth will every week ere that the cock him croweth, fasting, drinken of this well a draught, as Thilke holy Jew our elders taught, his beasts and his store shall multiply. And, sirs, also it healeth jealousy. For though a man be fall in jealous rage, let maken with this water his pottage, and never shall he more his wife mistrust, though he the sooth of her default wast. All had she taken priests two or three. Here is a mitten, eke that you may see. He that his hand will put in this mitten, he shall have multiplying of his grain when he has sown, be it wheat or oats, so that he offer pennies or else groats. Good men and women, one thing warn I you. If any wight be in this church now that has done sin horrible, that he dare not for shame of it is shriven be, or any woman, be she young or old, that has made her husband a cuckold, such folk shall have no power nor no grace to offer to my relics in this place. And whoso findeth him out of such blame, he will come up and offer in God's name, and I assoil him by the authority which that by bully granted was to me. By this gourd have I won, year by year, 100 marks since I was pardoner. I stand like a clerk in my pulpit, and when the lewed people is down is set, I preach so as you have heard before, and tell 100 false japes more. Then pain I me to stretch forth the neck, and east and west upon the people I beck, as does a dove sitting on a barn. My hands and my tongue goes so yearn that it is joy to see my busyness. Of avarice and of such cursedness is all my preaching, for to make them free to give their pence, and namely unto me. For my intent is not but for to win, and nothing for correction of sin. I reck never when that they be buried, though that their souls go a black buried. For certes, many a predication comes often time of evil intention. Some for pleasance of folk and flattery, to be advanced by hypocrisy, and some for vain glory, and some for hate. For when I dare no other way debate, then will I sting him with my tongue smart in preaching, so that he shall not astart to be defamed falsely, if that he hath trespassed to my brethren or to me. For though I tell not his proper name, men shall well knowen that it is the same by signs and by other circumstances. Thus quit I folk that do us displeasances. Thus spit I out my venom under hue of holiness to seem holy and true. But shortly mine intent I will devise. I preach of nothing but for covetise. Therefore my theme is yet and ever was Radux malorum est cupiditas. Thus can I preach against that same vice which that I use, and that is avarice. But though myself be guilty in that sin, yet can I make other folk to twin from avarice, and